and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I am joined by Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about fiction in football. We're not talking about diving or, you know, play acting and all that sort of nonsense. We're talking about actual, proper, scripted football as you see it on the big screen, as you read it in books and novellas and comic books, and anywhere you would ever think of purchasing some made-up story about football, other than the local press.
Hey!
Ba-boom! But we thought, right, we'd sit here and we'd talk about long and hard about all the great times we've had, like reading books about you know, fictional teams or watching films about teams going, defying the odds and players coming up from nothing and then winning the World Cup. But we suddenly realised that we all think they're absolutely quite shit.
Or we've not actually seen them in the first place.
Yeah, so we've actually been deterred from the outset of actually going to watch Goal.
Yeah, I would never watch Goal.
No.
I think the idea of Goal is obscene and would never watch it in the first place. I have watched some football-based fiction, for sure. But Goal, or for that matter, Goal 2...
Didn't they have Goal 3 as well?
Ooh.
Surely the subtitle to that would have been The Hat-Trick.
I think there was. Don't do that because we've got half an hour of this. I'm pretty certain that the plan was to have three in the same way that there was always a plan to have, you know, a third trilogy of Star Wars, but it never happened.
Do you think they're going to do prequels as well? Of course.
Oh wow, well, that would be something else.
The assist,
And then the final the trilogy would be The Celebration.
The last one would be The Booking. I didn't realise that the franchise had actually, like, you know, been expanded to that degree, but obviously, you know, it hasn't really put itself down in the. It hasn't etched itself on our psyche like other films have, which we can more readily sort of access in films that we've never even seen.
Such as
Anything really.
Yeah. What you mean? Any movie?
Yes. Any movie.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay. I think it's fair to say that Gone with the Wind is better than Goal and Goal 2, without ever having seen Goal or Goal 2.
Yeah, I think we can probably. Yeah, say
so
that.
Is The Battle of the Bulge, for that matter.
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, that's all right. It's not as good as Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Carry On at Your Convenience is probably better than Goal, isn't it?
An awful film.
Were there any Carry On football films?
No.
No, but
we almost wrote one.
We did an onion bag back in the day called Carry On Scoring. And it was a revival film. It was all about a lost Carry On film. That was called Carry On Scoring. Graham, maybe if you find it, you could provide a link on the Sound Football page for listeners to read.
I will do that. I mean, we did toy with the idea of doing one of our onion bag Christmas specials.
Well, we've done football fiction, of course. I forgot about that.
Oh yes, we have.
Yeah, we've done the Christmas Carol and the Football Disaster Movie.
Yeah,
both excellent, award-winning podcasts, listeners.
They are fantastic.
Well, but I gave them an award.
They don't actually have any football being played in them.
Oh no, that's true. Well, choreographing football in fiction is a bad thing. I mean, I don't think I've ever really seen it done convincingly.
Well, no. I mean, the film that we're all familiar with and we have actually watched is Escape to Victory, and the choreographed football in there is appalling, isn't it?
It's atrocious.
What?
It's dreadful. Oh, come on. I mean, you know, Pelé's overhead kick is the only good thing in that.
What about John Walk?
What about John Walk?
Well, you know.
Come on, explain
the fact that he's there and he was playing for Ipswich at the time.
Yeah, in slow-mo.
Walking slow-mo.
Of course,
that no one should say.
Yeah, I think you know, or is it going to be Sylvester Stallone's performance in Goal? You know, the play.
He did play a blinder.
He did play, well, not in the first half. He didn't.
No, he was terrible.
Oh no, yeah.
But he no.
No, but they had a word with him at half time, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
Hairdryer.
Giving the old hairdryer treatment. Said, look, you know, you're not coming with us if you don't back up your ideas,
yeah,
Sonny Jim.
Yeah.
And you went, okay. Yeah. Well, sorry about that, anyway.
I did think the injury they gave the existing goalkeeper was a bit harsh. I mean, I didn't.
Yeah, he could have just had a flu or something.
Yeah, could have broken a finger, couldn't he? Really, rather than have his elbow like completely like bent the wrong way.
It was quite brutal, actually.
It was actually.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's a time of war. You know, there was a war on. Times are tough. Times are extremely tough.
I mean, the 40s, I suppose, and like you know, players were real like
they were tough. Real men.
They made
it
tough.
Stuff and nonsense, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, you bent your finger back in the 40s. You carried on playing. I mean, you know, Bert Trautmann and you know all that, jumps the goalpost and all that stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, football and Nazis. I think, generally speaking, you know, is a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, if you were to have football and Nazis, I think you know, any movie, then that's a good thing. I think that's part of. Excuse me, that's part of Escape to Victory's appeal.
Yeah, I think that's one thing because you know that when you put footballers up against a group of Nazis in black shirts, you definitely know who the bad guys are.
Yeah.
And so you know who to support. You know, you're pretty clear at there. You don't have to know a lot about football to know should be beating the Germans.
Nazis in general,
yes.
You know, are always good in movies anyway because they have that kind of sort of like absolute barrier. There
yeah.
And you say, well, look, I know who I don't. And they tend to lift movies a lot. Like Dead Snow, for instance, is a dreadful zombie movie, apart from the fact that all the zombies are Nazis, which makes it a slightly less than dreadful zombie movie.
Yeah, the whole zombie Nazi genre is a bit sort of like over egging the pudding, isn't it? Really, sort of like you're saying, what. You don't like Nazis and you don't like zombies. So like here are zombie Nazis.
Well, that's why Wolfenstein 3D was such a big hit, though, isn't it?
But it was really.
No one's had any real experience of zombies. But I mean,
we've all met a few Nazis in our time.
Of course, we've been to football matches.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah. So maybe zombies get a bit of a bad press. Maybe they could play in white.
Zombie footballers
or zombies v Nazis.
Yeah,
zombies for Nazis on the field of play.
Now then, I think we've got a film here. But then again, you've got both teams. It's like watching Chelsea v Man U, isn't it? You know, you don't want either side to win, do you? You just want
big
earthquake to happen.
The hero would have to be the referee or something like that, which doesn't sound good at all. I mean, who'd referee that match? Oh, well, obviously, apart from Howard Webb. But, you know, who else apart from Howard Webb would referee that
match? Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Well, listeners, if you've got any ideas of who would be the cinematic referee in that match, or anyone else to do with the game, I mean, like, you know, the shameless tacked-on love interest, who would that be? But, yeah, send them in, you know, all the details at the end of the podcast, as usual.
Have you seen any decent football fiction? Or read in any media? You know, have you encountered any? At all? We've talked about Escape to Victory. What else? Anything else?
Well,
nothing
again, the only ones I'm slightly interested in are the ones that have actually got nothing to do with the game itself and more to do with the violence before it.
Right.
After
it. Oh, of course. There was that spate of movies like Football Factory and ID and The Firm as well.
Yeah.
I think the only one of those that I've seen is The Firm. And that was the first one, not the remake.
And what did you think of that?
I found it to be really interesting, really good, but I never saw another one like it because I felt, well, I've seen that. No, I don't really need to see anything more than that. But yeah, no, that's obviously more about hooligan culture, and arguably that's not about football at all. It's just using football as a backdrop.
Yes.
For a different thing. In terms of actual movies with football as its central core, even if they don't necessarily have to be sort of like football action movies, but sort of like more about that. Anything that leaps out to you? You can say it's genuinely good?
No.
No?
No. I can't say it.
I can.
Can you?
Yes, I can. There's one movie that I have seen that is a genuinely good football movie, and that's The Miracle of Bern.
Ah.
Which is a German film about the 1954 West German World Cup winning side. And it's a brilliant film. But in fairness, it is also about Germany after the war. As much as it's about Germany.
So they still managed to get Nazis into it.
Well, there's lots of...
there's lots of the shadow of the ghost of Nazis.
Yes,
it's the
extreme desolation and poverty that takes place in Germany after the war. And then the West German national team extraordinarily goes to the Bern World Cup and beats Hungary, who were without any doubt the best team in the world at that point. In an extraordinary, almost suspicious circumstances, and those apparently when they look back at Germans, see it as being, if you like, to an extent, the kind of rebirth, and to a larger extent, the kind of readmittance of the German nation back into the human race. Because, I mean, yeah, 54, so what, less than 10 years after the after the war, so everyone's still pretty pissed off with them. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, like, we're following a lot of German football, as I do, that kind of World Cup victory is revered, but outside, I mean, it's seen as a tragedy, of course, because it should have been the World Cup that Hungary won, because that was the great Hungary side, with Ferenc Puskás and all of that. And really, they should have won that, because they never, the great Magyar team never won a World Cup, which is a great tragedy in itself. So it'd be interesting to see if the Hungarians ever made a movie about it from the other point.
It is very interesting because, of course, in 1954 in Hungary, there was lots of...
There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Stuff, well. Yes, a lot of stuff going on indeed. So there is sort of huge sort of like conspiracy theories about the fact that the Hungarian side was nobbled.
Yes.
So the Hungarians wouldn't have anything to pin their hopes on.
There's also been allegations about drug use as well, going back to last week, from the German team as well. So that have since emerged. But I mean, there's no knowing. But I mean, as a movie, it's very heartwarming, and it's a really good film. And also, the choreography of the actual football itself is decent, I would say, and I would recommend it to viewers, to listeners who were enjoy a good football movie, because that is a good football movie, and there are so few.
Is John Walk in it?
John Walk, alas, is not in it, unless he makes a brief cameo.
Can we move on?
did either of you actually read Roy of the Rovers when you were a kid?
No.
No, it is something that is incredibly familiar, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't have to. I knew it was there.
Yes.
Flight Radio 3 and 6 Music, as we were talking about when we were off air.
Yes.
I mean, it's enough to know it's there without necessarily having to actually listen to it.
What I did like when I was a kid, I can't remember which publication this was in, was, I think it was called Billy's Boots.
It was in Tiger magazine, I think that's where that one started off.
That may well have survived, because I think Tiger would have been almost certainly subsumed by others.
I think it was Shoot.
Right. Well, it might have got into Shoot.
I think it survived under a few different titles, but yeah, Billy's Boots had the preposterous idea that a dead footballer's spirit lived on in a pair of old shoes that a kid was playing football in.
There's a bit of a mocking tone to your
I'm all for story ideas, but the fact of haunted boots from a 1920s footballer, it did seem a little. I'm just saying a little bit.
Yeah, careful. I'm on the edge of being offended here.
I think it didn't seem to say anything about the boys' sort of condition. Didn't say anything about growing up in 1970s Britain. No. For me.
And there were performance enhancing boots.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't really fair on the other kids, was it?
No.
No.
Needs to be a level playing field, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
What was that going to do for his heading ability? I mean, like, there you go. I mean, like, I don't know really position. I think he was a centre forward.
What does he do for his all-round game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the over-reliance on these haunted boots of his was never going to bode well for him, because let's face it, he was a kid. How long do kids last in a pair of boots? You're a dad. I mean, like, how often would you need to buy him a new pair of haunted boots?
Well,
the boots just not grow in
this
size?
This is the thing, because if they're all 1920s footballers' boots, he'd have to stand in the bath, wouldn't he? And so they shrunk to his feet.
Yeah.
But the kid's going to keep on growing.
Well, so I don't know.
Onions and calluses, and that's going to end his career before he even starts.
Yeah.
I wonder what that kid's feet are like now.
They're a mess.
If that kid was actually a real kid and he's alive today, yeah. I wonder what he's thinking.
Do you remember the name of the actual footballer? Because I think I remember him. I think it was Deadshot Keane.
Ooh.
That's a good bit of trivia.
Good bit of trivia there. Yeah. And I might actually be wrong, but never mind. but was Deadshot King the size of like an 11-year-old kid? And did he have the same size shoes as an 11-year-old kid? Because like, and I know they were a bit smaller in those days. Because like, you know,
they were, not as much red meat. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, you know. Mm, just saying, or maybe you know, your Billy, our eponymous hero, had especially large feet for a 12-year-old.
I think it's fair to say that there was a degree of a suspension of disbelief in the narrative.
Now, you don't want to go offending Jan here.
No, I think either the footballer was very, very small.
Yeah.
Or he had massive feet, which is going to, you know, stand in good stead later in life as well.
Yeah, or a mixture of the two. Maybe Billy had slightly bigger than average feet for an 11, 12-year-old. And maybe Deadshot Keane had slightly smaller feet. So let's say maybe about size 4 or size 5, something like that.
It's not going to do much for his balance, though, is it?
Yeah. But that brings me back to my original thing, was to say, well, look, if Billy's got big feet and he's only 12, likelihood is he's going to grow out of those boots really, really, really quickly. So he's only got, like, what, half a season? Half a season.
The thing is, though, maybe he's reached his maturity early. And he's actually... You
know, so he's bigger than all the other kids anyway. No wonder he's so much better. It's not the boots at all, is it? It's just the fact that he's...
Maybe he's not 11-year-old. Maybe he's just been kept down here.
Bear in mind also that he was the guy who had a comic book made out of him. So he was obviously overhyped, you know. I mean, like Gareth Bale, really. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
He wasn't as good as all that. It was just like made out.
Do you think it was actually written by his agent?
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
We could pay a homage to another comic strip football character, and that would be Billy the Fish, of course.
I was waiting to say that amazing one.
Leaps like a salmon.
He
could fly as well, or leap, or he was airborne a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you name anyone else from the team?
Alas, I don't believe I can. No.
Mick Hucknall. He played for them. But yes, I mean
so you can name one.
I can name one. Off the top of my head. Hey, look, I've got Deadshot Keane. What mod do you want?
That's still unverified.
Because I wrote an onion bag about Billy's boots.
Yeah, he called it Jimmy's Shoes.
Shoes, yes. And it was when Teddy Sheringham nobbled the Miss Great Britain contest. It was what's her name?
Danielle.
What's her name? The one who was in Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah. I can't remember her name. But her name is Danielle.
Yeah. And basically he was having it off with her, and he was also on the judging panel as well. So surprise, she won! Yay! And
are you trying to say there was some kind of? I'm not making the connection.
You're suggesting that a beauty contest was a work of fiction by any chance.
I was, actually. That's exactly what I was suggesting. But the way I wrote it was the fact that it was basically Jimmy's shoes, and the fact that she won it because she had a pair of magic shoes from someone.
Some dead model.
Some dead model, yeah, something like that.
From the 20s.
Yeah.
Who had massive feet.
Yeah. It was probably written very late on a Sunday night, as for most of my onion bags.
All the onion bags at that point were written late on a Sunday night with a few cans of beer inside, or gin, because it was the only way to get the creative juices flowing for a while.
Yeah, gin helped. It's got us through 10 years of it, so yeah. Content production. So we can't complain too much. Billy Boots. But what about TV shows?
Well,
now Dream Team was on.
There's quite a few of those, isn't there?
That was on, and that was largely based on football and a lot of on the pitch stuff. Never watched an episode of it ever.
You know?
No.
Well, I watched a few.
Footballers' Wives.
I didn't watch that.
I didn't watch that at all.
No.
No.
I tried to watch one of them, and it was didn't like it.
No, I couldn't. I mean, no, I didn't know that.
It was probably
on
ITV, actually, which is probably why it's so unwatchable.
The Manageress, I did watch.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think we all watched that. Yeah. And that's because it was good. It only went for one series, though, I think.
Yeah. We were a lot younger and probably a lot more forgiving, though.
Mm, and Cheryl Lungi is an easy person to forgive.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that was a really good show, that was. That was a second division club. She took control of a second division club as a female manager. Obviously, being Cheryl Lungi, And it was all about, well, it was just about that, really, and it worked quite nicely. Mm-hmm. She managed to get them promoted at the end of the season into the first division, as I think it was then.
I think the writers got them promoted, really, rather than her. I think she was just a figurehead, really.
Do you think so?
I think she just got up there, said her lines, you know, like a lot of people at these press conferences, really.
But it was an interesting show, and it was thoughtful. It was on Channel 4. And yeah, I thought it was a fairly thoughtful and interesting approach to take, you know, on football and its prejudices and its foibles, as well as its good points as well.
Yeah,
so it was,
I agree, I thought it was good.
It was quite an authentic story. I would say probably there's another one, unfortunately I don't remember the name of it, there's another one about a woman footballer existing in a men's football. And this was, I think it was called Alive and Kicking, and I may be wrong, and it was set for a club that was so obviously Queen's Park Rangers, but they didn't obviously have Queen's Park Rangers permission, even though they filmed it all at Loftus Road. And she was a female striker who played in the Premier League and won the FA Cup for this team. So they had to, you know, break quite a few rules. And Dennis Lawson was in it.
But did she?
It was a one-off. It was like a screen one back in the day. This will mean nothing to international news. But it was a one-off, hour and a half long telly movie, basically.
But did she play as a
she
female?
She was playing as a female.
Like Robin Blackadder.
Yeah, no, she wasn't. That, I mean, that has yet to be done. And we're all looking forward to that when it finally happens.
Yes.
But
it does happen. Remember where you heard the idea.
Yeah, indeed. Copyright the sound of football. But no, she was a woman footballer and deemed good enough to play in a man's team, and played and scored and yeah, finished off the film winning the FA Cup. So that was. That was quite interesting, if not necessarily good. But curiously, one thing always sticks with me about that. I can't remember the name of the title, but I can remember who the football choreographer was. Oh, it was none other than Alan Dix, former Fulham manager and manager of other clubs back in the day. Alan Dix. Oh, yes. Much-loved figure in the game.
Why wasn't he managing at the time?
Well, he'd been sacked by Fulham not long afterwards.
Why on earth would he have been sacked from Fulham?
Well, he wasn't. The results were really poor, and the Fulham fans demanded that he be sacked.
I was there.
I was at Craven Cottage quite a lot back then when Palace were away.
I was there at one evening.
Indeed.
When they got knocked out the first round by Hayes.
By Hayes, and the immortal cry of "Dix out, Dix out" rung around Craven Cottage. And we'd all been thinking, is it a bit in the papers for some weeks prior to that? The only time that the English media ever talked about Fulham back then, because they were like a third division side, was waiting and anticipating the moment that the Fulham fans finally chanted "Dix out," because they were having such a terrible run, and obviously Alan Dix being the coach, and we were there when it happened.
Yeah, we were there.
We were there when it happened. It was glorious. Somebody tried to chant "Dix must go," "Dix must go," but no one was having it. a little while later, I went along with my friend Ian, who's a Stockport fan, to the Stockport game, and I went in the. Went into the away end, and again by that, Alan Dix was still the manager, and so every time they were shouting, by that point they didn't give a shit. They were not remotely concerned about the humour or irony of this. They wanted this guy. They were there, and they were hanging "Dix out, Dix out, Dix out" during the game. And of course, Scotland fans, you know, obviously going "Dix in, Dix in, Dix in," and rightly so. Yeah, there you go. Listen.
So. Okay, so where are all these things going wrong? I mean, like, I take it none of us have seen Mike Bassett, England manager, are
you? Yeah, I've seen that.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that. I thought it was pretty shit, to be honest with you.
It wasn't a documentary, though, was it?
Yeah, thanks, Chief.
That's all right.
There was me thinking it was an observational documentary.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I haven't seen Bend It Like Beckham, either.
I have seen that.
Is that any good?
Well, I know it's Kieran Knightley.
It's nice to look at.
Yeah, it's amazing. No, it's not. It's terrible.
And also, we should probably doff our hat to Murphy's Mob and Jossie's Giants as well, shouldn't we? The
football, you know, is just a branch of science,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm sure many of
it was written by Sybil Delves.
And interestingly, there's an awful lot of women and football. So you've got this unknown film that I was talking about. You've got The Manageress, and you've also got, of course, Gregory's Girl.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, and that is, by all accounts, a really good film, but I didn't see it. But,
yeah,
I'm told it was really good.
I think that's the main thing is that most things about football have got some kind of light-hearted feel to it. Ooh. So there is a feeling that you've got to tack on some love interest there.
You want a football film, book or TV show that really is about football and isn't about either social relationships going around it, like Dream Team, which is like really a soap opera, yeah, but giving Sky the chance to use their footage, or, you know, allegories for modern life, or, you know, post-war life, like the Miracle of Bern, or like The Manageress. You know, you want it to be like about actual football, about the actual playing of the actual football, and the actual getting results, and all the intrigue that goes on within that club. And I don't know whether or not that's ever really been successfully done.
I don't think it would be very successful at all.
You think it'd be rubbish?
There has to be. I mean, while you were saying that, I was thinking, well, maybe they could go on the kind of the whole transfer and agent thing, and then it should be about greed, and then that.
Yeah,
it should be about morality. So, you know, otherwise, if it was just about football, I don't think anyone would watch it.
That's the best,
because you can actually just go to a football match and watch it live.
I suppose that is the other thing about football. You know, fictionalized football.
The drama is there anyway.
It's not as good as real football, obviously. What's the best? Can we just broaden things out just a bit? And what's the best sports movie you've ever seen?
The first Rocky film was very good. The rest of them, abysmal.
Not Rocky 2.
Rocky 2 is good.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, I just didn't know. It wasn't as gritty as the...
I mean, I like Rocky 4, although I realise it's garbage, but I like it because it's just tremendous fun.
Ivan Drago.
I must break you. Yeah. If he dies... He dies. and so on. I mean, exactly, there you go. So you're laughing already.
But then again, we have...
It's not a worthy film, no.
But so the only person who can make a decent sports film is Sylvester Stallone.
Not an uncontroversial statement.
And he did that one about arm wrestling as well.
He did Death Race 2000.
He did. And he did the arm wrestling one. And he also did a film called Driven, which is about him racing cars.
Yeah. Over the top is the
arm wrestling. He also made an excellent film called Paradise Alley, which is about wrestling.
Yes.
I don't know whether you saw that.
Yeah, that's a brilliant film.
Yeah. And of course, he was in Escape to Victory. Sylvester Stallone makes good
sports films.
What about you, Sibley? Come on, you must have one.
Are
you going to go with Rocky, are you?
I was going to go with Rocky 2, actually, yeah. Well, Rocky and Rocky 2.
Same film, weren't they, really? Yeah.
And Rocky 3, really, I love it.
There's a lot of him smacking people around.
You're a fight a dinosaur? Yeah, because of variety of damage. Yeah, so what's your prediction
for the fight?
My prediction? Pain! Say what's not to love!
Yeah, I think I'd also recommend Moneyball as a recent addition. That's a brilliant film.
Rollerball.
And Rollerball.
Rollerball.
The proper one, though.
The first one, the remake.
Rollerball is the best sports film ever.
Well, see, now that is all about... That's just riddled, obviously, with subtext, isn't it? And that's all about what this whole thing is.
Yeah.
And that's false consciousness. It's like, basically, you're being rogered up the backside by the man, and he's giving you sport to try and, you know, ease the pain, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what Rollerball is all about. And really, to be blunt, that's what all this whole thing is all about. It's what football's all about.
Yes.
Yeah, to be appallingly cynical for a brief moment, but it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, anyway.
And I think that's probably the best way to wrap this up for
this week. Yeah, yeah. This is all...
Bring the curtain down. Yeah.
This is the second week in a row you've really brought me down.
Oh, I didn't mean to. Here, look, have another glass of wine.
Yeah, or go home and watch Rollerball. Go home and shoot some trees with your laser.
That's not a euphemism.
Well, it could be.
Well, yes, it could easily be.
And so we'll be here again next week.
Champions League next week.
Yes, we're going to talk about Champions League, and we're going to have some really decent performances this week to talk about, hopefully. But for me, Graham Sibley, and for my two guests, Terry and Yan, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.